Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What Jail Is Like!
It's been so long since we've gotten to do that cool, casual talking part.
Oh, I know.
Forever, you know? Like, we just don't do it enough, I don't think.
Yeah. Talk about your poops.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool when we abandon the intellectual pretensions from the very start and go straight for poop. Because who knows where we're going to go by the end
can't
of it.
Can't go down, and nowhere but down at this point. Any which way but loose. I got an orangutan and a muscle shirt.
Seriously.
There you go.
You look great in that muscle shirt.
And we just don't know where we're going to go because this is 2 hours of improvisational comedy on the radio.
Can you believe it? You know, you might be saying to yourself, what the hell is that jerk off talking about? 2 hours of improv comedy on the radio? What an ass. Rest assured, it is possible. Not only is it possible.
And rest assured, I am an ass.
We flip it over, let smack it, and make it our loyal subject. Because it is possible. And we do it with style, wit, elegance, savoir-faire, and all that good stuff. So if you're a doubter, stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be. At the end of this remaining hour.
If you're a doubting Thomas, on the other hand, just put your hand in the wound.
A lot of people have asked me exactly what, you know, an improv comedy performer is, why we're qualified to do it when nobody else is. And, you know, you can explain to them some of the basics, such as we make it all up on the spot. You know, we create magic right in front of you. The real-life equivalent that I would give to it, and this is something new, so all of you've been confused for a while, just hang on. We're conversationalists just like anyone else. Everyone else is a conversationalist, but whereas everyone else just has, like, you know, the Class D license, they can talk about the weather, we got Class B. We can take the big rig out on the mm-hmm. out on the road.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
we can put together a convoy.
Cool. What? It's a Band-Aid.
It's gross.
You know what it is? Okay, I'm going to just tell you right now.
Band-Aid.
There's no... Okay, but guys, there's... All it is I had to play guitar about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I sliced my finger open 3 days ago, but there's a little flappy skin like a paper cut that will pull open again. So there's no blood, there's no grossness.
Yeah, I understand, but
it's
just
a covering.
You don't just slide a Band-Aid off your finger like a ring and toss it onto the counter.
Question: if the What Jail Is Like crew starts out talking about poop, where will they go from there? Answer: they will talk about open wounds.
It's just a little open wound.
Yeah.
So today I decided there's a whole new group of people that I was aware of subconsciously, but it never consciously. And those are the howdies, the people that when they're walking on the street you don't know them. Howdy is a person you don't know first and mm-hmm. foremost, but you know, no matter what, that when they get near you, like say you're sitting on a porch and they're walking their dog, they're gonna look at you and go, howdy.
Mm-hmm.
And today I was sitting on my friend's porch. And sitting there by myself, and this guy came walking by with a dog, and I heard a voice that wasn't mine go. I was looking at him. I heard, "Howdy." 2 seconds later, as he walked by, he was walking the dog in a pooper scooper. See, improv comedy connections.
Yeah.
He had a pooper scooper, and he looked me in the eye, and he went, "Howdy," for no reason, just like his head snapped up. Howdy. And then back down. The howdies, they're out there, folks. You'll know them. Now that I've told you about them, you will see them everywhere. That guy is going to say howdy to me when he walks by.
Are they an aggressive breed?
Yeah, they're definitely an aggressive breed. They want to say howdy to you. Mm-hmm. They want to be the howdy-er.
Now, if you don't respond or if you don't show any acknowledgement, are they going to...
No, the strange thing is it's almost like a reflex. As soon as they say howdy, you go, howdy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so it's a virulent strain.
Yeah, well, no, because you won't... You can be a carrier,
mm-hmm.
but just because you said howdy to a howdier doesn't mean you're going to say howdy to people that you don't know.
Okay.
It's a reflex. They say howdy and you go, howdy.
But I heard saying howdy is like kind of the gateway drug.
Oh, it is, because next thing you know, you're saying top of the morning.
You're wearing a leprechaun outfit. There's no rationale for that.
No. Nobody knows.
That's a very virulent strain. I mean, that's what basically the entire movie Outbreak was about.
Yeah,
was, a tragic, tragic scene. Yeah,
a monkey
in the leprechaun outfit, and then at the end, Rene Russo's got the leprechaun outfit on.
Which, strangely, wasn't all that bad, actually. Top 10, tangent 1.
So, just like...
Hey, I'm doing something here. Oh, tangent 1. Okay. The top 3 things that the top 3 costumes that the members of What Jail Is Like would like to see Rene Russo wearing. Number three, kind of a spacesuit deal, but not like a clunky spacesuit, but like a Barbarella type spacesuit, shiny and short.
Yeah. Number two, the uniform of a powerful CEO, but on casual day.
Nice.
Number one, a cannon. I'd like to see her wearing a cannon.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. All right, end of tangent one.
Yeah.
I like these tangents.
You like that?
These are nice.
I like them better than audio footnotes. They kind of audio footnotes have kind of fallen back into the.
They have. I mean, tangents don't have the continuity issues that you have to be
absolutely
worried about.
Absolutely not. But you know, I think I like them because inherently they're something that we can all join together in, whereas inherently audio footnotes are us separating ourselves from each other.
Basically,
you know what I mean?
Increase the peace.
Exactly.
In, 2000.
Unity. It's something we can build together.
Yeah.
You know.
Audio footnote. They're never taking this away from me. This is my place. My place. End audio footnote.
So this all brings me to a very strange place, but it was something I was reading about in the news. Did you hear about this Bob Jones University place? It's in Georgia. Like there was a big, you know, political thing because George W. Bush appeared on their campus and didn't tell them they were all bastards because the college has a policy banning interracial dating on its campus. The only place in the country that specifically bans interracial dating on its campus. And this week, because there was a whole ton of controversy over it when it came to light, they lifted the ban. But I was reading the news article in regards to it, you know, wondering how they kind of, you know, justify, you know, what the rationale for having it in the first place is. And just, you know, this side of psychotic Christian lore that I guess I wasn't really hip to. Apparently, they feel that it's, you know, they claim that they have no problem with the individual races. They don't want to see mingling because this drive towards unity and this drive towards togetherness plays into the hands of the Antichrist. That's a direct quote from the guy from that university.
Wow. That guy's a moron.
That's strange that.
Well,
I mean, you could link those two things together as being directly related. People coming together, you know, enjoying one another's company and loving one another, you know, as friends or otherwise, being the, you know, playing the hands of the Antichrist.
So I'm wondering what their perception of the Antichrist is. You know, like who
looks
is this
a lot
guy
like
that
Tom Arnold? I think.
Yeah, I think what they think the Antichrist is a terrible party guest. Mm-hmm. You know, or like somebody who can, you know, weave himself into any party anywhere. And, you know, if people are getting together, having parties, it's going to be obnoxious. He's going to ruin everything. But if people are, like, disparate, they don't get along with each other, they're staying away from each other, just small packs, you know, the Antichrist will be foiled.
You were on the crest of a thought.
I was just going back. I had something worked out about the 12 tribes, but,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
Well,
I lost it.
Rest assured, okay. It would have been freaking
I was just thinking that something along the lines that, you know, there are 12 tribes in Israel. And there must always be 12 tribes. And so you two can't date because we've decided you're different tribes. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's that kind of mentality. But I think that the party guest thing was much better than mine.
Well, so. when Tribe Called Quest went and toured there, really screwed everything up.
Yeah, big mess.
The sun didn't rise.
The rhyme was not checked.
It was a month-long eclipse.
Tangent number two. This is a collection of the great lost thoughts that What Jails Like members were going to toss on to a joke and just couldn't do because you know, the pace passed them by.
I said Tom Arnold just recently because you said, and if you're a doubting Thomas, and I was going to be, well, if you're Tom Arnold, then you might as well kill yourself or something equally zany. But the pace was just like, you know, just rapid bowled fire. Me over. So, you know, I got my Tom Arnold in thing, but it was way out of context at that point. So,
Number two was when Eric launched into the howdy thing. My initial reaction was going to be how oppressive I find it when random strangers say hello to me because I hate everyone basically who I don't know. I don't like them. And I don't think it gets reiterated enough on this show what a cold, dark heart I have and how I can't really get along with anyone.
Yeah.
Basically, the only thing from this show that I can think of is way back at the beginning when Troopy was still pooping and we were pounding on the door, I had this idea, because I thought he'd be in there for a while, that we could do a whole rescue fantasy kind of thing. And so when I saw him, when I sat down again and I saw him coming out of the bathroom, I was really depressed momentarily. Because I was like, oh, I had this whole, like, you know, kind of like cliffhanger thing going on where like Mark would be hanging over the toilet bowl, holding on to Matt's hand.
See, I really dig this, you know, the self-referential kind of deconstruction thing you got going on tonight.
So what you fans out there can do, because you're all taping the thing, you're probably burning it to a CD or mini disc as we speak. I don't think you actually
or
need to burn
just
mini
directly onto your skin.
Yeah.
Taking mutation.
So what you could do is if you burn that tangent onto, say, your thumb, what you can do is take your thumb, take it off your hand, because, you know, you've got another one. And place that segment wherever it would have fit, where we claimed it would have, and just see, you know, you've got this alternate dimension of what jail is like and when those thoughts actually came out.
Like a fine Japanese chef, slice everything up, you know, very tiny and put it in a very uniform way to create the maximum, most rewarding bouquet and flavor.
Like a fine Japanese chef. Baby, you are the finest Japanese chef I have ever seen. Can we end tangent too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And tangent too.
So we're talking about Bob Jones College. I guess the other thing I should have said back in the tangent was I haven't read news in about 4 years, so I feel dumb every week when you're like, "Did you guys read the news?" And I'm like, "Well, nope. I read the comics."
That's why I say, "Did you guys read?" And then I detail the entire story so y'all could act like you did.
Yeah.
You know, I take that upon
you do that a lot, and we appreciate that.
But you know, you have been kicking my ass into gear on that because I've been trying to read a little more of the news, and I try to watch the Today Show in the mornings when I get up.
Yeah.
But I just become enthralled with Katie Couric's hair.
Mm-hmm.
She is one hot mama. Hot mama of the news, Katie Couric is. I don't know what it is. She's not hot in the way that, like, you know, Cameron Diaz is
hot.
It's
her radiant smile.
But she has just got that. When you were in second grade and you had the fresh out of college teacher and everybody was in love with her, mm-hmm. Like, in a very, like, nondescript kind of way. That's what she's got going for. That and, you know, just raw, pure sex appeal.
You know, damn my Catholic school education. I can't relate to that.
I had a Catholic school education.
Oh, okay. I guess we just had...
Did you have all nuns?
We had a bigger nun collection than you did. Not all nuns.
Nun collection?
Yeah, big nun
collection. I've got a mint condition Sister Mary Elizabeth back here.
Oh, I know. Sometimes we'd be sent to the other building for, like, music class, you know, and, like, I'd actually wander into an off-limits area, you know, and there's, like, the nun storage.
Surplus.
Yeah.
Silver Age nuns, they have a slightly bigger bag.
Limited edition.
Some of them are signed, but nobody's going to buy them because there's no certificate of authenticity.
Yeah, I
signed by God.
The other reason why I can't really participate in this segment, although I think I've actually monopolized most of it if you do the math, is that I never really get a good look at Katie Couric because I'm always distracted by the hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you get distracted, there's so much of it, and it comes at such a rapid pace.
Right. Because I think just last week they did an expose on, Columbine, you know, 8 months after or whatever. And it was like a bunch of kids like, what? Shut up. I got a pizza puff to eat. Hey, don't touch my books, you dork! That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jail.
Yeah. We are in jail.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
See? It's not so bad.
Never mind. I'm going to solitary.
It's got its perks.
The power's back up out there. It's going crazy. So.
What else is going on with y'all?
A whole lot. We're not at Mardi Gras right now.
No, we're not at Mardi Gras.
You know, I had a band practice. I realized I've spoken about the band a lot this week. I try not to do that very much. But we had band practice this week, and our bass player, Jay, is always, like, an hour early, at least, for band practices. He's always sitting around the house, like, 2 hours before everybody else is there, you know, hanging out. And I got there about 15 minutes late. I'm usually, you know, on time, slightly early, but I went out to dinner with some friends. And I got there a little late, and our bass player was an hour and a half late after that. And we started to get worried, mostly because he had all our equipment. And then, you know, maybe something had happened to him. So we sat by his house. Well, we found him at Murphy's. Partaking of their Bacardi Gras. The dumbest thing I've ever seen. And he was wearing a jester's hat, along with like 15 other people. Like, just tons of people wearing stupid jester hats that said Bacardi Gras. And like, I'm thinking, And the same day was that Drink Until You're Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why doesn't someone get on that? Chief Schmeef, someone get on that.
Yeah.
Drink Until You're Irish. I guess it's because all the Irish are drunk at the time and they don't really feel like mobilizing.
Well, it's a thing of, pride.
Wait, so you actually went out into the world searching for him?
Yeah, we were worried about him, and we found him at Bacardi Gras. And I just could do nothing but shake my head in shame.
What was his excuse?
It's Bacardi Gras! Now, somebody he knew had stopped by, and
So he had been working, and then got off work and said to have a beer
with this person.
So how many places did you go before you found
him? Well, we went to his house, and we think we busted his roommate's ride. His roommate was there with a significant other. And
you busted his ride?
Her ride. We pounded on the window.
We don't know what was going on, but we pounded on the window
because their apartment building door was locked.
And you broke the tricycle somehow?
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. I stepped on her car.
Oh.
And at that point, I had made myself 52 feet tall so I could reach up to her window on the 14th floor of the apartment building.
Big feet.
So I totally broke her ride. But we had, we upset them a lot when they came to the door. And then found them at Murphy's. They've torn off the back of the co-ed. And back there.
It's really scary now.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's awesome, that one back theater that you would walk, like you came up into, and then, the seats were actually above you. The whole, front half of it is torn away.
Yeah.
But there's still, 8 or 9 rows of seats.
Oh.
And the front rows are totally decimated, the two front row, the two halves of the front row, except for 4 seats all by themselves.
Wow.
That are still together. So, Sunday night.
Band pictures.
Yeah, exactly. We were, we could crawl up on that. And then we're like, no, we'll die.
That really, I guess, explains why the movies I've been seeing in there lately have not been all that good.
No.
It's, they haven't been getting the first run stuff. It's been more of, two rats. Two rats, two more rats.
Two chicks.
And you can never get any service when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
No. And the sound's always, so spotty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Truck goes by, you can't hear anything. It's
always got really crappy prints, so.
Oh. I actually went for the midnight show of frat boys puking in the parking lot. And the sound on that was great, though.
That's good.
And, I went to the sneak preview of a huge claw coming at my face.
Was that an early morning?
That was an action-packed thriller.
Inexplicably starring Judge Reinhold. I don't know how he got involved, but he's in it.
That's right.
I heard that. I think they got that new sense around, because I went to... I guess I must have stumbled into... I thought I was seeing American Beauty, but I guess I must have stumbled into Look Out, the Floor is Collapsing. It was a thrill-packed ride for the ages.
Judge,
it was.
Number three. Three more movie titles relating to the destruction of the co-ed. Just because it would be difficult to work them into a context and continue this bit longer. So here they are, just flat, unadulterated, and raw, and in the buff.
The 7 o'clock sneak preview of... I'm sorry, I'm going to get in so much trouble. The 7 o'clock sneak preview of... La Bamba's out in the back killing rats. With the stunning sequence of this stunning slow motion meat grinder sequence. As people are lying out the doors ordering steak burritos and they're out back, grinding up livestock.
I was going to say when when the movie screen met the Boneyard, a touching romantic comedy.
That's a nice one.
But with its fair share of action in it.
My personal favorite is the revival screening of Citizen, My Chest Smushed Into This Chair Forever.
It kind of cribbed a lot of stuff, though.
Yeah, well,
Number four, just real quick, was I saw the sequel the next night. And that was a busload of illegal immigrant workers sneaking in the back of La Bamba's, which I thought was...
It's supposed to be a very controversial movie.
It was very controversial. They were... it was horrible. But... they looked happy.
I assume they were just going in there to buy some food, right? Because we can't actually make that suggestion.
What about...
No. They were going in there to buy food.
Okay.
What about, hey, those are my legs dangling out of the crane? Give those back.
That's a good one. I like
the wordy title.
Oh, I really like the 3D version of, oh my god, it's a wrecking ball. That was a good one.
Either that's really good 3D or I'm about to die.
Oh, that would have been... I wish I had said that.
I think Lawrence has one. All right, let's clear a space in this tangent for the rotting corpse of Lawrence Welk. Oh,
That's good.
It's kind of like, kind of, you know, it's in your head.
It's oblique.
It'll hit you. And tangent three.
That was a big tangent. Had all these trees and branches and.
See, but we really pulled together on that one. It was bonding. Doesn't it kind of to leave you all warm and fuzzy on the inside after one of those? And not bitter and separated?
So theme nights. I'm really glad that they've decided to, you know, for Champaign-Urbana purposes, for the University of Illinois purposes, push ahead St. Patrick's Day, just, you know, so that we can all celebrate it together as the loving community that we are. Yeah. It was really getting to be a dire situation earlier last week, around like Tuesday or Wednesday. I was really starting to see like Irish people as actually, you know, human beings. I was having a really hard time because, you know, that's Tom, you know, okay. But finally, you know, the cultural stereotypes have been reinforced, and I'm back in good shape, and. They really can't bring on the sniff glue till you're Polish day soon enough, because I'm actually starting to respect Polish people as human beings.
Or oppressed like you're German.
Mm-hmm.
Oppressed till you're German.
Oppressed till you're German.
Yeah, that doesn't come around till May, so I'm still kind of seeing German people as oppressive.
Damn it, why didn't I say oppressed till you're German?
I don't know, why didn't I say that's either really good 3D or about to die? Thanks. I really think that... I don't know. I'm like, you know, social commentary by Eric Rapson. 8:30 in the morning is too early for anyone to start drinking, especially Blaine or Chad, one of those guys, you know, like a Blaine or a Chad. They shouldn't be drinking at 8:30, okay? They're already going to do enough damage at, you know, at about 9 p.m. Why do we need to, hey, guys, come on out and start drinking at 8:30 a.m., because you ain't got nothing better to do.
See, I'm really far away from this logic, being someone who doesn't drink. I just drink milkshakes, and you just become fatter when you drink a lot of milkshakes. I'm not really clear on, like, what is the logic that they're afraid there's not going to be enough time in the day to consume the alcohol, or they just want to get a jump start on being able to walk?
You're supposed their idea is that, you know, you're drinking till you're Irish.
Mm-hmm.
The actual thing is that's, you know, 12 more hours in which to sell alcohol to people.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking from Blaine or Chad's perspective.
Oh, Blaine or Chad's point of view, how much beer can we drink till we die?
Well, it's funny. Well, you were saying how, you know, you drink milkshakes and you get heavier, but the thing is, Blaine and Chad are very health conscious because they know that the more beer you drink, actually the thinner you're getting.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's probably just more hours with which to show concern for their well-being.
Yeah, it's a health move.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know about that. My ongoing anthropological study of the human race.
Who gave Lawrence the beer?
I don't know.
And who put the little the four leaf clover stencil on his cheek?
We really got to take that party hat off. That party hat's been on since his last birthday.
I thought the rotting corpse of Lawrence Welk was Polish, not Irish, but
he drank until he was.
Yeah, he's Irish now. I guess we better tell his estate that.
Is he O'Welk now?
Do we have to? Do we
Lawrence McWelk?
Do we forfeit some of the? Do we forfeit some of the security deposit on Mr. O'Welk now?
I think so.
I don't know.
Oh crap!
And I got him this really nice leprechaun costume.
You know what? I think I still. I don't think we turned it in the report yet, so we could just pretend. We could just write it that it happened before.
Good.
I got it. It's like, what should I put down here?
Former
wearing
polka legend was given to us.
Irish.
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's how we got
wearing
the
leprechaun suit.
Do not take any responsibility for current Irishness.
Irishosity. Irishitude.
that's the best. Good one, man.
Thank you. Oh, God, it's the night of, like three's a charm, baby.
Where's the fourth wall? It was destroyed like the co-ed.
Whee! Connections, folks. Connections. Mm-hmm. Should we slip off here to a song?
Yeah, why don't we slip off to a song, like Eric suggested? Oh, yeah. Very powerful on the talk, and so we should shroud ourselves in intrigue and mystery. What are we going to do after this song? I want to remind people, for the record, that Pledge Drive is coming up in just about a month. And in fact, exactly a month. It begins, I think, on April 8th. So our first Pledge Drive show will, as far as I know, be the 9th, I think. I think it will be April 9th. So I'm telling you all that because suckers never call during the Pledge Drive. And so if you want to call us, if you want to be in touch with us, but you better call in between now and then, because you'll have that 2-week gap where you're petrified to call us and, you know, Neither heaven nor earth can move you to do so.
It's really miserable when you don't call.
Mm-hmm.
So even during pledge drive, feel free to call. And, you know, don't feel guilty if you don't have money to spare. Just call us anyway and participate in the same way that you would now.
Yeah, we'll extract terrible revenge upon you. Don't
and
worry.
And we'll just hack into your bank accounts anyway.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. And I also want to give this as advance warning in case you do want to, you know, start saving up money to pledge to support the radio station. You know, like start beating up kids for their milk money now.
Yeah. Right. You know? Because if we bring in the most pledges during our time slot, we get a raise.
True, and it's so. Common knowledge that. Old ladies grip their purses very loosely because their grip is frail and weak, and their bones are brittle.
But they get very suspicious around Pledge Drive because they know, you know, all of our listeners, you know, they have records. And, you know, if you catch them unaware right
they
now...
They can actually be taken down with their own cane.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Sheila Toulouse has my records, and I'd like them back. Mm. I've got a copy of The Jam in there that I really want back.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, it's a good LP.
Okay. After this break, why don't... I'd really wanted to do Mad Libs again, but we don't have anything around to read except this ad for a restaurant, and I don't think doing a menu Mad Lib would be all that good.
No. Noun.
Yeah, noun. Fish. Well, actually, it's fish. Broiled fish.
He said halibut instead of salmon.
Nobody serves halibut with red wine. No, we're not going to do Mad Libs tonight because we don't have Jack to read. We could do the WEFT is supported in part by grants from the Illinois Art Council for the Mad Lib. All right, give me a noun.
Cheese.
WEFT is supported in parts by cheese from the Illinois Arts. Give me a noun.
Committee.
From the Illinois Arts Committee. Because it's really a council.
Yeah. Ah. Subtle differences. It's heady.
Oh.
You don't have to do that. Why is everybody showing the really disgusting side?
I normally leave this out. All right, retroactive.
This is priceless.
Retroactive tangent. Let's get Troopy's most disgusting sound of today. All right, and special retroactive tangent. Give
awesome,
us a call.
That was fun.
Let us give you advice. 359-9338. Call us with your problems. We will solve them on the air, but you can tell them to us on the phone. Your real legitimate problem, which may include the sounds that Eric and Matt are making right now. If those are a problem for you, give us a phone call. Let us do this wonderful metatextual bit where we solve this problem that we are creating. Or if you have a problem in your own life, 359-9338.